So this morning we'll be looking at Acts chapter 4, chapter 8, verse 26 to 35 is our scripture. But before we do that, I have a little bit of a reminder for us about how important our Bible is to us. How many of us use our Bible on a daily basis? I'm not looking for hands, so don't show them. These are just more licorice. How many of us use our Bible on a daily basis to read more than just the verses that are in our little devotional book? To read on a daily basis? How many of us use our Bibles on a weekly basis? How many of us use it on a weekly basis more than to just open it up in Sunday school class and Bible study and in church here for the sermon? How many of us actually, this is the thing that actually I think is an important thing. If you have a Bible at home, how many of you actually bring it to church? And if you don't bring it to church, sure, there's pew Bibles, but it's not the same. If you use your own Bible at home, there's a connection. If you really do use your Bible at home, there's a connection you have with your own Bible. It becomes a part of you. And it's just not the same as the pew Bible. Sure, some people may say, well, you use the same scripture version as the pew Bibles. Well, I don't. I don't know whether you've noticed that about me. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I think it's actually a good way to learn about the scripture, to look at it from different versions of the Bible. See how it's worded just a little bit different. To not leave the house to go to church without your Bible is, to me, like not leaving without your clothes on. It's just the way I see it. And if you've ever been in my office, you've seen the shelf in my office. I have a shelf for just Bibles. I got probably about 15 different Bibles on my shelf. And according to which one I just feel like bringing up here on Sundays, one of them is very special to me, Old Blue. I've gotten over the necessity of having to just preach out of that one, because I've started to use different ones to preach out of. But whichever one I feel like preaching out of, I use, according to which one, the version I'm using that Sunday. But sometimes I'll take one Bible and I'll leave it at home and not walk over here. And you don't see me walk over to church with a Bible, but it's because I know I got another one on the shelf. So, for me, that can happen. But they're all my personal Bibles. It's not like I'm picking up the pew Bible. But that's something that you have to feel for yourself, though. It's something you have to feel for yourself. Each one of these, my personal Bibles, has notes written in them, has lines drawn underneath verses, has highlighter in them, because I've used them at one point in time to study something. Whether it be today's sermon, which I use this one for, or whether it be something down the line that I've studied. But how important are some other things in our lives? Did you get the back light for me, Joe? How important are some other things in our lives? Would we see them as more important than other things? And would we ever be caught, to say the cliche, would we ever be caught dead without them?
What if our Bible were just as important as our cell phone? We treated it like we couldn't live without it. When we forgot it, we went back to get it. We had lots of gadgets to keep us connected to it. We always had it close by in case of an emergency. We carried it around in our purses and pockets. We checked it throughout the day for new messages. We were constantly going over our minutes every month. We made sure our battery never ran low.
I thought that was an important question to ask, seeing as this whole idea for this sermon series of connecting to God started off with me being challenged once again to think about the whole thing of being connected to God, and it started with the whole idea of my cell phone being stuck in my side pocket of my computer case. Never leave home without it. Well, Sunday mornings I leave home without my cell phone most times because I don't need it during this time. But those questions, do we check it daily several times for new messages? Do we make sure our batteries never run low? All these things, if we forget it, if we intended to take it to church or Bible study or something, and we just went out to the car, do we see it as, oh, no big deal? Or do we actually stop, get out of the car, run back in the house to get it? Well, it's no big deal to leave God's word behind. I don't really need it. So this morning's message, preparing to experience Scripture. Yes, there is something that I would encourage you is a better way to read your Bible than to just open it up and start reading. And I can guarantee you, you will get a lot more out of it than if you just open it up and read it. Even a blind squirrel will find a nut every now and then. So, yes, you will get something out of your Bible by just opening it up and reading it. But you will get so much more out of it if you do some preparation and actually open your eyes up and open your ears up and open your mind up and open your heart up to what Scripture is trying to say. So, here's our Scripture for this morning. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. This portion of Scripture in Acts is a wonderful, wonderful story about being prepared to go anywhere, anytime, tell anyone, anytime about the one thing that matters in life above all things, and how Scripture always will point to Jesus. You can get Scripture to point to Jesus, because every story in the Bible, in real context, talks about redemption. And redemption is what Jesus is all about. You may have to go a few chapters, but each story eventually talks about redemption, or is calling to redemption, challenging about redemption, or whatever. But eventually, in every story in the Bible, there is something about redemption in the moral of, the crux of, or the actual ending of the story. Every one of the Psalms starts out usually with a, "Oh, woe is me," or something to that extent, and says, "Oh God, you are so great." It's a redemptive sort of, pattern that they all follow. Or they all just talk about how great God is. Talk about one thing, and then the next thing you know, how great God is because you brought me out of it. So this is great because Philip was getting ready to go one direction, and the angel of the Lord talked to him and said, "Go south." You know, that road I'm talking about, that road down south toward Gaza, the one that leads into the desert. And you see that chariot over there? I want you to go over there and talk to this guy. But before that in Philip's life, something had taken place. Preparation. And even that day, there was preparation. He was prepared. Because he was in tune with God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to see or hear the angel. We're not in tune with God. We're not going to be able to see or hear those things as clearly as we should. But the other thing is, down further, he talks about the Spirit told Philip. Now that's a different thing. That's gaining direction from the Holy Spirit. That's an internal, well, what should I do now? Holy Spirit says, stay here with this chariot. Don't move. Okay? All right? Fine. So what is preparation? What do we need to prepare to experience Scripture? First thing is, we need to pause for a moment and pray. If you do this before you enter into your time of Scripture, it will make the biggest difference in the world. If you go and just barrel into Scripture, yes, you will learn something, but not nearly as much as if you will say, okay, I'm getting ready to read your Word, God. Lord, I don't know what you want to say to me. I don't know what will be revealed to me, but please speak to me what you want me to hear. Help my ears to hear what it is I need to hear. Holy Spirit, interpret for me this passage, these passages, so that I have your interpretation, not the world's, not even my own, so that I can understand what you meant, Lord, when you wrote these words and how they apply to me today. Not just what they meant back then, but what they mean to me today. Pray like that when you enter into your time of reading, and it will make a world of difference than just opening up the Bible and reading. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And how many of us actually know what the next verse in that says? For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God, God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. It's not as simple as just that one verse. There's a lot more to it. And there's actually stuff before that too that you ought to read. Next thing. I've already actually covered that. Request the Holy Spirit's help. Request the Holy Spirit to help. Holy Spirit's help to help you understand and apply His Word. You got it a little scrambled up there, scrambled. But that's it. Part of that prayer is to request the Holy Spirit's help to help you understand what the Scripture is saying. Not just what it said back then, but what it says to you now and today and how it applies to you. Specifically, how it applies to humanity generally, how it applies to the church generally. And then enlist and use other resources whenever necessary. If you need to use a concordance, use a concordance. If you need to use a Bible dictionary, use a Bible dictionary. If you need to use some commentary, use a commentary. But don't rely on the commentaries. Don't rely on those things to give you the interpretation. Rely on the Holy Spirit to give you the interpretation. Those other things are just tools. They are not the thing that you should look to as the authority. The Word of God is the final authority. Period. I'd say that everybody should have a good Bible dictionary, a good concordance, and maybe a little Bible encyclopedia of some sort in their house as just the three basic things to help you with your Bible study. Commentaries aren't really necessary unless you're looking to preach or teach a Bible class. And most study Bibles will have a little bit of commentary in them. But don't use those as the final authority. Remember, some of those actually have a little more of one doctrine slant than another, because they were written by a specific person who has a specific belief and a specific religion, not a good word, okay? A specific brand name, Christianity. So they're going to have a specific slant on some of the more controversial verses of Scripture. So to trust them as the final authority is not necessarily the best thing to do. Look to them, see what they say, but look to a couple different things then if you're going to look to one. And compare and contrast them. But then ask God what He says and see what you get as an answer in that prayer. Patiently wait on the Lord for understanding of the tougher passages. That's when you should say, the best advice I ever got from one of my Bible teachers is, you don't always have to have an answer to everything when it comes to the tougher passages of Scripture. Sometimes you just need to say, I don't know. I don't know. You don't need to know everything. And that's the better answer than to try to come up with some half-baked answer and mislead somebody. Aim for a specific goal each time you enter into Scripture. Set yourself a plan, a goal in front of you. Today, I would like to read X amount of chapters. I'd like to get through the Bible in 1 year. If you'd like to get through the Bible in 1 year, there are lots of plans out there that are already pre-planned out for you that give you a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament, and a little bit of Psalms each day. So if you'd like to do that, look for one of those things. I got several different sources if you'd like to do that. But aim for a goal. But don't be disappointed if you don't reach that goal each day, because God may have a bunch of stuff to dump and download to you one day into two or three passages. And that's great. God gives you one of those days, that's great. Just say, okay, thank you, Lord. We'll move on to that and we'll pick up from here next time. It's not about the quantity, it's about the quality of time spent in His Word. Just like in our Sunday school classes or in our Bible studies, it shouldn't be about the quantity of questions or things we discuss. It should be about the quality of the discussion, the quality of the Bible study, the quality of the interaction between us as we listen to the Holy Spirit talking to us and we interact with one another. It shouldn't be about, well, we need to get this page done. That's quantity driving us, not quality Bible study. Relationships, not a ritual, are what we are building here. Getting to know the heart of our Lord. That's what it's all about. Each one of us, whether it be in our individual Bible study or in group Bible study or whatever, it's about our building the relationship between us and the Lord. It's not about a ritual. It's not about sitting down and saying, okay, from 6:30 a.m. to 7 o'clock, I read my Bible. Period. If I don't get that time in today, I have failed. Well, it's good to have that time set aside, but you know what? If it becomes so rigid and so ingrained in your life that it becomes a ritual and you forget about the relationship that you're building, then you know what? You're wasting your half hour. Your half hour would be better spent coffee talk down at the fertilizer plant, building those relationships. Because it's about the relationship you're building with the Lord. Sometimes things are going to happen to where, you know what, family's going to come up and say, hey, I got to get my kids to school this morning because the wife had to go into work early or something like that. Or the wife will say, I got to get the kids off to school a little bit earlier because they got a field trip. I couldn't spend my time in a half hour of Bible study this morning like I usually do. But you know what, God? That's just the way it is. I'll get it in sometime today. I'll do my best. And even if you don't, God, it wasn't on purpose that I did this. He knows that. He understands that. But then if it becomes a habit where you just start to find every excuse in the world to get out of that half hour, then something's wrong. It's about that relationship. And it's always been about that relationship. Everything about Christianity is about relationship, not about religion, not about ritual. So, get to know the heart of your Lord through His Word, because everything in His heart that could be contained in pages is written here. Expound, explain, expound. That's basically what I try to do here every Sunday morning. Is expound God's Word, explain it to you. God's Word to others as given the opportunity. That's exactly what was done here by Philip to the eunuch. He tried to expound. He did a wonderful job of explaining God's Word to others as you're given the opportunity. As you study God's Word and you understand it more clearly, things are going to stick in your mind. You may not be able to quote them chapter and verse. You may not be able to spit back specific verses as far as quoting them word for word. But you will be able to say, in the Bible, it says something to this extent. And you know what? If you want to sit down with me someday, I'll be happy to show you them in the Bible. But I can tell you without a doubt that God tells us this. He loves us. He loves you. And He sent His Son for you to give His life for you. And about the specific situation in your life, He tells us that these things are going to happen sometimes. But He gives us a hope. And so on and so forth. Each one of us are ministers. Isn't that why Quakers are set up the way we are? Because each one of us is a minister. People don't ordain people. God ordains people. So each one of us is a minister of the gospel. Each one of us is responsible for sharing the good news. And as we learn more and more about that good news, we are more easily able to share it, and less uneasy, I guess, about sharing it. Still, you're going to be nervous, I'm sure, if you're a nervous type person about one-on-one interaction with people. But still, you'll have it in your heart. And with the Holy Spirit's boldness, you'll be able to do it. Because when the Holy Spirit drives you to do something, you'll know and you'll be able to. So, Paul's request, enlist, patiently aim, relationships, and expound.